and they pretended to be eunuchs? Books podcast, episode 286, Tipitaka, part 187, in which we will continue reading the Tipitaka, you might know it as the Tripitaka, same thing. Tipitaka is just a little bit of an older way of saying it in the original Pali. And we're going to be reading it as translated from the original Pali into English by the Pali Text Society. Thank you, Pali Text Society, specifically Miss or Mrs., I'm not sure, Horner, I.B. Horner, at the Pali Text Society sometime in the 1930s. So if it sounds like a British lady in the 1930s, that's why. But it's what we've got. So there it is. Now you might have noticed I mentioned this is 286. So the arrow is pointing to the 6. When the number of the Buddhist Books episode ends in 6, it's pointed to one of the little Dharma wheels, or Dhamma wheels, if we're sticking to the Pali. Anyway, so we'll be doing that today and again tomorrow for 287, and then we'll be getting to 288, which you see the little monk with the green book, that is Shobo Genzo. So keep an eye out for that. That'll be Zen Buddhism Part 12, if I'm not mistaken. All right, so I hope everybody's doing well. We had a little break. My wife and I went out of town for a little while, but we're back, so these episodes should be coming out pretty regularly for the next 2 weeks, and then we'll be taking a break again. So, there it is. Shall I get started? Okay. Picking up right where we left off last time, if you would like to, you know, hear the previous episode, any previous episode of Tipitaka, or indeed to start at the beginning of Tipitaka, here's the playlist, and you're welcome to watch or listen to all 286. If you're in the future, there's more than 286. Not 286 of Tipitaka. 187 of Tipitaka. If you want the full playlist, which includes the awkward beginnings of Buddhist Books podcast, and eventually we find our way to the clock that we have today, as far as what exactly we're reading, in what order, and that kind of thing. It took a few years to kind of find our footing and rhythm and what have you. The full playlist is here, Buddhist Books Podcast. It starts with an introduction that'll help explain things a bit more if you're confused and if you'd like to check that out. Okay. Now at that time, two monks came to be going along a high road in the Kosala country. They arrived at a certain residence where a certain monk was ill. Then it occurred to these monks, quote, "Your reverences, tending the sick is praised by the Lord. Come, let us tend this monk," end quote. And they tended him. While he was being tended by them, he passed away. Then these monks, taking that monk's bowl and robes, having gone to Savati, told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, "Monks, the order is the owner of the bowl and robes of a monk who has passed away. But truly, those who tend the sick are of great service. I allow you, monks, to give through the order the three robes and the bowl to those who tended the sick. And thus, monks, should they be given. That monk who tended the sick, having approached the order, should say to it, quote within quotes, "Honored sirs, the monk so-and-so has passed away. These three robes and the bowl were his." End quote within quotes. The order should be informed by an experienced, competent monk saying, quote within quotes, "Honored sirs, let the order listen to me. The monk so-and-so has passed away. These three robes and the bowl were his. If it seems right to the order, let the order give these three robes and the bowl to those who tended the sick. This is the motion. Honored sirs, let the order listen to me. The monk so-and-so has passed away. These three robes and the bowl were his. The order is giving these three robes and the bowl to those who tended the sick. If the giving of these three robes and the bowl to those who tended the sick is pleasing to the venerable ones, let them be silent. He to whom it is not pleasing should speak. These three robes and the bowl are given through the order to those who tended the sick. It is pleasing to the order, therefore it is silent. Thus do I understand this." End quote within quotes. End quote. Hopefully they wash the robes and bowl. I'm just saying. "Now at that time, a certain novice came to pass away. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, monks, the order is the owner of the bowl and robes of a novice who has passed away. But truly, those who tend the sick are of great service. I allow you, monks, to give through the order the robe and the bowl to those who tended the sick. And thus, monks, should they be given. That monk who tended the sick, having approached the order, should say to it, quote within quotes, honored sirs, the novice so-and-so has passed away. This robe and the bowl were his," end quote within quotes. The order should be informed by an experienced, competent monk, saying, quote within quotes, honored sirs, let the order listen to me. The novice so-and-so has passed away. This robe and bowl were his. If it seems right to the order, let the order give this robe and bowl to those who tended the sick. This is the motion. Honored sirs, let the order listen to me. The novice so-and-so has passed away. This robe and bowl were his. The order is giving this robe and bowl to those who tended the sick. If the giving of this robe and bowl to those who tended the sick is pleasing to the venerable ones, let them be silent. He to whom it is not pleasing should speak. This robe and bowl are given through the order to those who tended the sick. It is pleasing to the order, therefore it is silent. Thus do I understand this." End quote within quotes. End quote. "Now at that time, a certain monk and a novice tended one who was ill. While he was being tended by these, he passed away. Then it occurred to that monk who had tended the one who was ill, quote, now, what share of the robes is to be given to the novice who tended the one who was ill?" End quote. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, "I allow you, monks, to give an equal share to a novice who tended the sick." End quote. "Now at that time, a certain monk who had many goods, many requisites, came to pass away. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, monks, the order is the owner of the bowl and robes of a monk who has passed away. But truly those who tend the sick are of great service. I allow you, monks, to give through the order the three robes and the bowl to those who tended the sick, to distribute through the order that is present, so the monks that are present. Whatever few goods, few requisites are there, but whatever many goods, many requisites are there, these are for the order of the four quarters. Okay. Those who have come in, those who have not come in, they are not to be disposed of, not to be divided up. Okay. End quote. Interesting. Okay. Now at that time, a certain monk, having become naked, approached the Lord. Having approached, he spoke thus to the Lord. Quote, Lord, in many a figure is the Lord a speaker in praise of desiring little, of contentment, of expunging, parentheses, evil, end parentheses, of punctiliousness, that's punctiliousness, of graciousness, of decreasing, parentheses, the obstructions, end parentheses, of putting forth energy. Lord, this nakedness is in many a figure useful for desiring little, for contentment, for expunging, parentheses, evil, end parentheses, for punctiliousness, for graciousness, for decreasing, parentheses, the obstructions, and parentheses. I don't know if those are the kinds of obstructions you should be, maybe, never mind. For putting forth energy. It were good, Lord, if the Lord were to allow nakedness for monks. End quote. I'm betting the Lord says no, just based on what I know about Buddhism. Let's see where this goes. The awakened one, the Lord, rebuked him, saying, quote, it is not becoming, it is not suitable, it is not fitting, it is not worthy of a recluse, it is not allowable, it is not to be done. How can you, foolish man, observe nakedness and observance of members of other sects? It is not, foolish man, for pleasing those who are not, parentheses, yet, end parentheses, pleased, three dots, end quotes. Having rebuked him, having given reasoned talk, he addressed the monks, saying, quote, monks, nakedness and observance of members of other sects is not to be observed. Whoever should observe it, there is a grave offense. End quote. This was a very special time in that region, in and around Bihar, present day Bihar. They didn't call it that back then. some 62, I think, they estimate. 62 different groups of wandering ascetics, including the Jainists, including the Buddhists, and including Ajivika, if I'm not mistaken, and 59 others, presumably. I think a few of them are named, and we'll get to them later in the Tipitaka. But Mahavira was famous for being naked. I don't know if Jainism at that time was considered a naked sect. But I'll keep reading. Now at that time, a certain monk, having put on a kusa grass garment, three dots, a bark garment, three dots. So I think what's happening here is the same situation. A monk comes up wearing a grass garment and says, Hey, Lord, I think wearing a grass garment is in line with your teachings. Is it okay? And he says, Foolish man, thou shalt not wear a grass garment like those of other sects. So here they all are. A grass garment, 3 dots. A bark garment, 3 dots. A garment of wood shavings, 3 dots. A hair blanket, 3 dots. A horsehair blanket, 3 dots. Parentheses, a dress of, end parentheses, owl's wings. 3 dots. Parentheses, a cloak made of strips of, end parentheses, black antelope hide. Approached the Lord. Having approached, he spoke thus to the Lord. Quote, Lord, in many a figure is the Lord a speaker in praise of desiring little, 3 dots, of putting forth energy. Lord, this parentheses cloak made of strips of, end parentheses, black antelope hide is, in many a figure, useful for desiring little, 3 dots, for putting forth energy. It were good, Lord, if the Lord were to allow parentheses cloaks made of strips of, end parentheses, black antelope hide for the monks, end quote. The awakened one, the Lord, rebuked him, saying, quote, it is not becoming, 3 dots, it is not to be done. How can you, foolish man, wear parentheses, a cloak made of strips of, end parentheses, black antelope hide, an emblem of members of other sects? Foolish man, it is not pleasing. It is not for pleasing those who are not, parentheses, yet, end parentheses, pleased. 4 dots, just to mix it up. End quote. I'm just seeing if there's anything interesting or useful in the footnote, and there is not. Okay. Having rebuked him, having given reasoned talk, he addressed the monks, saying, quote, monks, parentheses, a cloak made of strips of, end parentheses, black antelope hide, an emblem of members of other sects, is not to be worn. Whoever should wear, parentheses, one, end parentheses, there is a grave offense. Wow. I'm pretty sure nakedness was a grave offense as well. Okay, so that's a high, that's like a felony. When he says it's a wrongdoing. Standing with your arms akimbo, looking around, is a wrongdoing. But a grave offense is more serious than that, right? Maybe a misdemeanor as opposed to an infraction, using those terms. Now at that time, a certain monk, having put on, parentheses, a garment made of, end parentheses, stalks of swallow wort. 3 dots. Having put on, parentheses, a cloth of, end parentheses, fiber. Approached the Lord. Having approached, he spoke thus to the Lord, quote, Lord, in many a figure is the Lord a speaker in praise of desiring little, 3 dots, of putting forth energy. Lord, this, parentheses, cloth of, end parentheses, fiber, is in many a figure useful for desiring little, 3 dots, for putting forth of energy. It were good, Lord, if the Lord were to allow, parentheses, a cloth of, end parentheses, fiber, for the monks, end quote. The awakened one, the Lord, rebuked him. Now I have to wonder, what are the robes made of if not a cloth of fiber? Maybe, I mean, no doubt, there's something in the translation that's not quite 100%. All right. The awakened one, the Lord, rebuked him, saying, quote, it is not becoming, 3 dots, it is not to be done. How can you, foolish man, put on, parentheses, a cloth of, end parentheses, fiber? It is not, foolish man, for pleasing those who are not, parentheses, yet, end parentheses, pleased, 4 dots, end quote. Maybe I just don't understand the meaning of the word fiber as well as I should. Editor Edward, could you put the definition of fiber?
That doesn't make sense.
Maybe that will help understand. Is that different from, like, I don't know, cotton or wool or something? Don't know. Feel free to comment below if you have some insight about this. Having rebuked him, having given reason to talk, he addressed the monks, saying, quote, monks, parentheses, a cloth of, and parentheses, fiber is not to be put on. Whoever should put, parentheses, one, and parentheses, on, there is an offensive wrongdoing, end quote. It's not as big of an offense as being naked or wearing elk skin or whatever that was that they were wearing before. Okay. Now at that time, the group of six monks wore robes that were all dark green. They wore robes that were all yellow. They wore robes that were all red. They wore robes that were all crimson. They wore robes that were all black. They wore robes that were all dyed brownish yellow. They wore robes that were all dyed reddish yellow, or orange, as we call it in English. They wore robes with borders that were not cut up. They wore robes with long borders. They wore robes with borders of flowers. They wore robes with borders of snakes' hoods. They wore jackets. They wore, parentheses, garments of, and parentheses, the tirita tree. They wore turbans. People looked down upon, criticized, spread it about, saying, quote, like householders who enjoy the pleasures of the senses, end quote. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, monks, robes that are all dark green are not to be worn. Robes that are all yellow are not to be worn. Three dots. A jacket is not to be worn. A garment made from the tirita tree is not to be worn. A turban is not to be worn. Whoever should wear one, there is an offense of wrongdoing. End quote. Now at that time, having spent the rains and no robe material having accrued, what? No. Now at that time, monks, having spent the rains and no robe material having accrued, went away and left the order and passed away. And they pretended to be novices, and they pretended to be disavowers of the training. And they pretended to be committers of an extreme offense. And they pretended to be mad. And they pretended to be unhinged. And they pretended to have bodily pains. And they pretended to be suspended for not seeing an offense. And they pretended to be suspended for not making amends for an offense. And they pretended to be suspended for not giving up a wrong view. And they pretended to be eunuchs. And they pretended that they were living in communion, though it was by theft. And they pretended that they had gone over to other sects. And they pretended to be animals. And they pretended to be matricides. And they pretended to be parasites. There's a footnote that says nothing. Okay, I know patricide, but maybe parasite is 1930s British for patricide? Don't know. Editor Edward, what's parasite? Thank you, Editor Edward. You can always count on Editor Edward. And they pretended to be slayers of men perfected. And they pretended to be seducers of nuns. And they pretended to be schismatics. And they pretended to be shredders of a truth finder's blood. And they pretended to be hermaphrodites. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, this is the case, monks, where a monk, having spent the rains, no robe material having accrued, goes away. All right. Maybe this is a mistranslation between 1930s British English and 2025 American English or whatever. But earlier it said that they left the order and passed away. So I assumed that they had died. So when they were pretending all these things, I was confused, because how can they do that when they're, you know, not alive? But then the Lord says this is a case where they went away. So I guess they're still alive, and passed away in this context does not mean that they have died. Okay. Thank you. Someone get in a time machine and go tell Miss Horner not to use that phrase. That'd be nice. That'd be helpful. Anyway. If there is a suitable receiver, robe material should be given to him. This is a case where a monk having spent the reins, no robe material having accrued, leaves the order. Unless it's just, they're just lumping a bunch of things together. And because when the rains came, they didn't get any robe material, so their old robes were soaked by the rain and they passed away because they got sick because their robes were wet. And then it just goes on to some other monks that were pretending to be hermaphrodites, etc. I don't know. It's a little unclear. Let's keep reading. This is a case, monks, where a monk having spent the reins, no robe material having accrued, leaves the order, passes away, pretends to be a novice, pretends to be... Okay, so this is a list of things. One of them, that they died. Some of them died. Some of them pretended to be hermaphrodites. You know, like you do. Okay. Pretends to be a novice, pretends to be a disavower of the training, pretends to be a committer of an extreme offense. The order is the owner. The owner of what? I'll keep reading. Sometimes it's not as obvious as other times what's being said in the text. This is a case, monks, where a monk having spent the reins, no robe material having accrued. Okay, so maybe if they commit extreme offenses, don't give them robe material. But if they don't and they die, then give them robe material, or give them robe material so they don't die. Maybe. Seems fair. No robe material having accrued, pretends to be mad, three dots, pretends to be suspended for not giving up a wrong view. If there is a suitable receiver, robe material should be given to him. So some of the things that were listed were grave offenses, but pretending to have committed a grave offense is not a grave offense. Okay. Sure. This is a case, monks, where a monk having spent the reins, no robe material having accrued, pretends to be a eunuch, three dots, pretends to be a hermaphrodite. The order is the owner. Don't pretend to be a hermaphrodite. You don't get any robe material. Don't pretend to be a eunuch. You can pretend to be a schismite, apparently. I don't know. This is a case, monks, where a monk having spent the reins, robe material having accrued, but not having been distributed, goes away. If there is a suitable receiver, robe material should be given to him. This is a case, monks, where a monk having spent the reins, robe material having accrued, but not having been distributed, leaves the order, three dots, pretends to be a committer of an extreme offense, the order is the owner. Okay. This is a case, monks, where a monk having spent the reins... So I think it's just saying, like, okay, here's a list of a bunch of situations and whether or not they should get robe material. So if they get robe material... No, I don't know. I'll just keep reading. This is a case, monks, where a monk having spent the reins, robe material having accrued, but not having been distributed, pretends to be mad, pretends to be suspended for not giving up a wrong view. If there is a suitable receiver, robe material should be given to him. This is a case, monks, where a monk having spent the reins, robe material having accrued, but not having been distributed, pretends to be a eunuch, three dots, pretends to be a hermaphrodite, the order is the owner. Yeah, don't do that. That's what Lord Buddha says. Not very woke by our standards today. Ironic, considering he's the awakened one. 6th century BC Bihar. I mean, you can't expect people in 1972 to live up to our present-day standards of enlightenment, right? So, this is a case, monks, where monks having spent the reins, robe material not having accrued, the order is divided. People there saying... Quote within quotes, we are giving for an order, and quote in quotes, give water to one part, they give rogue material to the other part. This is for the order. This is a case, monks, where monks having spent the reins, rogue material not having accrued, the order is divided. People there saying, people there, T-H-E-R-E, saying, quote within quotes, we are giving for an order, end quote within quotes, giving water to one part. They give rogue material to the same part. This is for the order. I wrote a computer program that randomly generates Shakespearean sonnets, and most of the time it makes more sense than what we just read. Continuing, this is a case, monks, where monks having spent the reins, rogue material not having accrued, the order is divided. People there saying, quote within quotes, we are giving for a part. And quote within quotes, give water to one part, they give robe material to the other part. This is for a part. Again, maybe 1930s British English is more different from modern English than I realized. I mean, modern as in present day, not modern as in post-15th century, obviously. Okay, this is a case, monks, where monks having spent the reins, robe material not having accrued, the order is divided. People there saying, quote within quotes, we are giving for a part, and quote within quotes, give water to one part. They give robe material to the same part. This is for the part. Are you trying out for play or something? Are you trying to get the part? I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. This is a case, monks, where monks having spent the reins, robe material having accrued, but not being distributed, the order is divided. It should be equally distributed among all, end quote. That made a little more sense. That's good. We're moving in the right direction, it seems. Now at that time, the venerable Revata sent robe material for the venerable Shariputra by the hand of a certain monk. He's come up before, but this is the first time he's been given a form. Now, to be clear, this is just a silly thing that we do on Buddhist Books podcast. I hope that nobody is offended by my depicting Shariputra in this way. Ananda looks like this. I haven't given Lord Buddha a form. He's already been given many forms. I'll keep going. Sent robe material for the venerable Shariputra by the hand of a certain monk saying, quote, give this robe material to the elder, end quote. Then on the way, that monk took that robe material on trust for the venerable Revata. Then the venerable Revata, having met the venerable Shariputra, asked, quote, I, honored sir, sent robe material for the elder, meaning the person he's talking to. You know, when you're being overly respectful, you don't say, hey, you say, your majesty, or in this case, the elder, right? Okay. Has that robe material arrived? End quote. Quote, I have not seen that robe material, your reverence. End quote. Then the venerable Revata spoke thus to that monk, quote, I, your reverence, sent robe material by the venerable one's hand for the elder. Where is that robe material? End quote. Quote, I, honored sir, took that robe material on trust for the venerable one. End quote. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, this is a case, monks, where a monk is sending robe material by a monk's hand, saying, quote within quotes, give this robe material to so-and-so, and quote within quotes, if he, while on the way, takes it on trust for him who sends it, it is rightly taken. If he takes it on trust for him to whom it was being sent, it is wrongly taken. This is a case, monks, where a monk is sending robe material by a monk's hand, saying, quote, within quotes, give this robe material to so-and-so, end quote, if he, while on the way, takes it on trust for him to whom it was being sent, it is wrongly taken. If he takes it on trust for him who sent it, it is rightly taken. This is a case, monks, where a monk three dots, end quote within quotes, three dots, to so-and-so, end quote within quotes. Now, I feel like this should make sense. I feel like it ought to make sense. I feel like maybe perhaps you are hearing it and going, oh, that makes sense. He takes it on trust for the one who gave it. That's fine. But if he takes it on trust, what are we talking about? Take it on trust? Is that a thing? Is that a British thing? Is it an ancient Bihari thing? Is that a... What are we... What? What? Is that like leasing something? I don't know. I haven't got a clue. I'm not here to explain this stuff to you. I'm just reading it out loud. What can I do? While he is on the way, he hears that he who sent it has passed away. If he allots to him the robe material of one who is deceased, it is rightly allotted. If he takes it on trust for him to whom it was being sent, it is wrongly taken. This is a case, monks, where a monk three dots, quote within quotes, three dots to so-and-so, end quote within quotes, something, I don't know. While he is on the way, he hears that he to whom it was being sent has passed away. The beginning of each of these Mahavagga sections are always really interesting, and there's a story and characters, and like, it kind of like, and then it starts listing rules of order that are kind of relevant to the original story, and then you're like, and then it kind of degrades into this sort of thing where it's just like, okay, and this. So I feel like Mahavagga 8 is coming to a close. That's what it's like. So let me see. We'll see how it goes. If he takes it on trust for him who sent it, it is rightly taken. Oh no. While he is on the way, he hears that both have passed away. If he allots to him the robe material of the one who is deceased, of him who sent it, it is rightly allotted. If he allots to him the robe material of the one who is deceased, of him to whom it was being sent, it is wrongly allotted. Okay. This is a case, monks, where a monk sends robe material by the hand of a monk, saying, quote within quotes, I am giving this robe material to so-and-so, end quote within quotes, if he, while on the way, takes it on trust for him who sends it, it is wrongly taken. If he takes it on trust for him to whom it is being sent, it is rightly taken. This is a case, monks, where a monk, three dots, quote within quotes, three dots, to so-and-so, end quote within quotes. If he, while on the way, takes it on trust for him to whom it was being sent, it is rightly taken. If he takes it on trust for him who sends it, it is wrongly taken. This is a case, monks, where a monk three dots, quote within quotes, three dots to so-and-so, end quote within quotes. Well, by the way, for the one person who hasn't stopped listening to this, I want to apologize and to commend you for your commitment to whatever the workout routine is that you're doing while playing this in the background and not stopping your reps, your treadmill jogging or your bicycling or whatever it is to walk over and push stop. On the YouTube video or skip to some other video. You are committed. I commend you for your commitment to your workout routine. Other than that, it's just you, it's just me, and no one else. No one could possibly have tolerated the past 10 minutes or so of this nonsense. Okay, continuing. Sorry, I'm not intending to disrespect the scriptures, only Miss Horner's translation of them. No. Continuing. Or I could do that thing that some Theravadan orders do where they say, this part clearly isn't authentic. This is not the words of the Buddha. This was added by some person whose brain was on holiday that day. While he is on the way, he hears that he who sent it has passed away. If he allots to him the robe material of the one who is deceased, it is wrongly allotted. If he takes it on trust for him who it is being sent to, it is rightly taken. This is a case, monks, where a monk, three dots, quote within quotes, three dots, to so and so, end quote within quotes. While he is on the way, he hears that he to whom it was being sent has passed away. If he allots to him the robe material of the one who is deceased, it is rightly allotted. If he takes it on trust for him who sent it, it is wrongly taken. This is a case, monks, where a monk, three dots, quote within quotes, three dots, to so and so, end quote within quotes. While he is on the way, he hears that both have passed away. If he allots to him the robe material of the one who is deceased, of him who sent it, it is wrongly allotted. If he allots to him the robe material of the one who is deceased, of him to whom it was being sent, it is rightly allotted. Oh, yeah, this, we're getting to the end. I'm just going to finish Mahavagga 8. And then we'll close, and then you can look forward to Buddhist Books 287, in which we will start Mahavagga 9, or are we finished with Mahavagga? Excuse me. Yeah, there's a Mahavagga 9, so cool. I don't peek ahead, so I don't know. Maybe there's 12 Mahavaggas, maybe there's 9, I don't know. But there's at least 9. I peeked ahead a little just now. You saw me do it. There are, monks, these 8 channels for accruing of robe material. If he gives on a boundary, if he gives on agreement, if he gives with an announcement of alms food, if he gives for an order, if he gives for both orders, if he gives for an order which has spent the reins, if he gives having offered, if he gives to an individual, he gives on a boundary. It should be distributed to as many monks as are within the boundary. He gives on agreement. Several residences come to be equal receivers. What is given in each residence is given for all. He gives with an announcement of alms food. They say, quote within quotes, we give it there where the order's constant services are done, end quote within quotes. He gives for an order. It should be distributed among the order that is present. He gives for both orders. Even if there are many monks, but only one nun, a half should be given. Even if there are many nuns, but only one monk, a half should be given. I just want to pause here and reflect upon that. I don't know why. I don't question Lord Buddha's wisdom. But can you imagine if there were 100 monks and one nun and somebody donated a certain amount of robe material? You give half of it to the 100 monks and the other half to the one nun? That nun has a lot of robe material. Possibly. Or each of the 100 monks have very little. Seems like I could use a little like revising and rethinking and making of footnotes and asterisks and qualifiers. But who am I to question? Continuing. He gives for an order which has spent the reins. It should be distributed to as many monks as have spent the reins in that residence. He gives having offered. Congees, or rice, or solid foods, or robes, or lodgings, or medicines. He gives to an individual. He says, quote within quotes, I am giving this robe material to so-and-so, end quote, usually Upananda, end quote within quotes, end quote. Okay. The section on robe material, the 8th, meaning that's finished. They give the title at the end things, sort of different. They used to put opening credits at the beginning of movies, but I forget. I think it was George Lucas was like, I'm going to do, the story of Princess Leia on the screen zooming off into the distance instead, and he got fined, and then eventually they were like, you know what, you don't have to do that anymore, you can just jump into the movie and put the credits at the end. So things have changed within our lifetimes, if you're as old as me, as far as where to put the title. How much the more would they have changed since 6th century BCE? Okay, so this is the key. This part's fun because it sounds like gibberish, and I love things that sound like gibberish because they help kind of occupy the chattering monkey mind. When the chattering monkey mind has a chattering that is internally consistent, then it tends to absorb one's energy more. Like, for example, the whole thing I just said about chattering monkeys and the absorbing of energy, that's an example where if I said Plang Fong Book Cow $ Chair Kentucky, then at a certain point your brain just kind of like, like the chattering monkey is hearing stuff, but it's not like able to make sense of it. So you're not investing in it any kind of like thought energy anymore. You just, it might as well be like chanting in a foreign language. I mean, a language that you don't understand. You know what I mean? Okay. So what this is, you know, now that we've read all of Mahabharata 8, these are like little notes. You ever do that in school where you're like trying to remember, like, you know, there's 180 different things that you have to remember about the Ming Dynasty or whatever. So you're like, you just sort of like make a phrase or like a short, like one word, three words, five words to remember each of the 180 things so that you're not like memorizing pages and pages and pages. So, you know, to help memorize the pages and pages and pages, you have this key, that, or what he calls a key, what Miss Horner says he calls a key, which he translates as a key. So this is that. So Editor Edward put on something fun as far as music. That's good and fun. And let's read the key. And then we'll close. There are 96 items in this section. This is its key. Urban Council of Rajagaha, having seen the courtesan at Vasali, having gone back to Rajagaha, made this known to the king. Indeed, Salavatika's child was Abhaya's son, known as Jivaya because the prince asked, is he alive? Then he, having gone to Taxila, having studied, very famous, dispelled a 7-year-old disease by treatment through the nose. He removed the king's fistula with an ointment. The king sang, quote, tend me and the women and the awakened ones order, end quote, within quotes. And the merchant of Rajagaha, the tending on the twist in the bowels. He dispelled Pajota's great disease by a drink of clarified butter. And office, Sivyaka cloths, he lubricated the humors. The purging 30 times altogether with 3 handfuls of lotuses. He asked for the boon of good behavior, and he accepted Sivya Kaklods, the Kaklods is in parentheses for some reason. And the truth finder allowed the gift of householders' robes. Many robes accrued in Rajagaha and in the country, a mantle, and likewise a silken one, a fleecy coverlet worth half a kasi, and various kinds, satisfaction. They did not wait, and they waited. And various kinds, oh wait, I already read that. First, afterwards, together, and an agreement. They conveyed it back, storeroom and unguarded, and likewise they turned away, heaped up, and a tumult. How is it to be divided? How is it to be given? About his own and more than one portion. How is a share to be given? With dung and with cold water. To overflow. They did not know. Pouring out and a vessel. And in a dish. and on the ground. White ants in the middle. They wore out on one side and about being stiff. Harsh, not cut up, laid out in strips, he saw the bundles. Having thought it over, the Sakyan sage allowed three robes. About another that is extra, it accrued, and then it was torn. The four quarters, she asked for the boon to give cloths for the reins. Food for the incoming, the outgoing, the sick, those who tend the sick, and medicine. Constant supply, and bathing cloths, abundant, too small, thick scabs, for the face, linen, complete, what is allotted, the least, it was made heavy, the corner, the thread frayed out, they gave way, and they were not enough, extra supply, and many, in the blind men's grove, through thoughtlessness, the rains alone, and during a favorable time. Two brothers in Rajagaha, Upananda, again in two, dysentery, the ill one and the two, on what belongs to the sick, naked one. I think we've caught up to today's reading, but I'll keep going. Kusa grass, bark garment, wood shavings, hair blanket, horsehair and owl's wings, black antelope and stalks of swallow wort, fiber, green and yellow, red and about crimson, black, brownish, reddish, yellow, then borders not cut up, long, flowers, snakes' hoods, jackets, tirita tree, turbans. Not having accrued, he went away. The order is divided at all the times. They give to a part, for the order, the venerable Revata sent. He takes on trust, if he allots, eight channels for robe material. And that concludes Mahavaga 8. Well, that was fun. Wow. Aren't you glad you didn't stop the treadmill long enough to skip away from this video when it got really tedious and nonsensical and weird? And I know I am. All right. Well, that was fun. I enjoyed it. I mean, I always enjoy the key. If you would like, you heard me make reference to that I wrote a computer program that writes Shakespearean sonnets randomly that make more sense than that. I also, if you're familiar with Tron a little, then you know that when in the Tron world, when you write a program, then the idea is that in the magical kind of computer world, that that program, even if it's just a program that answers 2 + 2 = 4, then in the computer world, there's a person wearing colorful things in a black and white, depending on whether it's the 1982 or the 2009 or 11 or whatever year that was, version. The idea is that there's a version of you, or you have created a child, in a sense. That program is made in your image, so they have your face. So of course, I dressed up as a version of myself wearing lights and recited many of the sonnets that are composed by the program that I wrote. So it's like, it sounds complicated, but it's simple once you get into the groove of kind of how things work in the Tron universe. This is the playlist for the ones that have survived. I recorded those like 14 years ago-ish, between 14 and 12 years ago-ish. Anyway, enjoy it. If you enjoyed the key, then you'll enjoy that. And if you didn't click it when it was there, you can find it in the description. Just scroll down toward the bottom. Just open out the description part where it... Anyway. Okay. That was today's episode of Buddhist Books Podcast. And now I will go ahead and do the usual closing that we do at the end of episodes of Buddhist Books Podcast. So if you would please get into a comfortable position with me, seated upright, and repeat after me. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us, and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. This next part, you don't have to repeat after me. You can say it with me. We're going to say Om. Om. Until next time.